Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it's Red Team here, and welcome back to our political podcast. And as for today, we are going to be analyzing two of the biggest cases in the last 3 days, which are the Jussie Smollett case and AOC's Green New Deal. And I'm actually pretty excited to talk about the Green New Deal because, as you know, I've been dissing it for a long, long time. And today is a great day to really start to really go in and just finally smash it apart. So, again, I am still kind of looking into certain things such as Twitch and such, and so really I need to now figure out the donation thing. That's going to be more part of like the chatting and the gaming such, and also if you just want to donate when I'm not streaming and like that. But again, I'm still obviously trying to figure out Twitch because I'm not very that smart. I can sometimes mix up words and such, and that just kind of, as you know, decreases what people think of me in my IQ. But we're not going to talk about my IQ because, for one thing, I don't want to talk about my IQ. Because who wants to talk about their IQ? So we're going to kind of get into, first, the Jussie Smollett case, which, as you know, was dropped by one of the top prosecutors in that district. And I was surprised. I was beyond surprised. I was probably one of the most, probably so surprised that I almost didn't even know what I was reading. And then I really was just, what happened? What happened? And so then I researched what happened, and I started researching more theories from every side. And then I looked up, and I found this, and it was found, I think, from the New York Times or something like that, that George Soros, as you know, is the so-called funder of many helping programs for economies and such. He gave the top prosecutor $400,000. $400,000. And then I kind of thought to myself, George Soros is a progressive. Does that mean that he purposely, in a sense, bribed the top prosecutor to get out of the case? Because I just looked over the case. There was such overwhelming evidence that I cannot see in any other situation in which that man could walk out of the courtroom without at least having a fine or maybe a 1 month prison term. Because there was just beyond overwhelming. It was like legit, how? How did this guy get out? And it's still a theory. I personally believe that theory that George Soros and probably other progressive fundraising programs and organizations gave her thousands of dollars in order to drop it. I'm just saying right here, if that's what politics and how the justice system now works, well, this is not a very good time to really get arrested. And I already can experience this in California because I've seen many conservatives, and I've never met any of them, but I have heard of some conservatives where they're just simply walking down the street, and then all of a sudden they're assaulted, the police come in, but then that person's jailed or fined for being assaulted. And so it's just, it really is just a terrible time to really live under certain areas where the district law has become so unrelenting and becomes so, like, protecting people who, I say, get too triggered out over things. Like, it's just really, like, why? Like, come on already. We have a justice system for a reason, because we don't want to have people such as Soros or even Trump and like that influencing our courts. Because if that happened, the Russian collusion would have ended long ago. I bet Trump could have easily spent $1 billion on Robert Mueller to end it, and that would have been the entire story. But obviously Trump didn't, because if he had been found, it would have been bribery, he would have been impeached, and he would have been removed from office for very likely obstruction of justice for saying that he did not interfere, and the bribery crime that he had obviously used in order to end the Russian investigation. And so, it's just, again, the real motive, I think, behind this is that the Democrats and leftist supporters, they're trying to really say, we want to keep him away. They want to keep him away because he was such a big figure because he is gay. And the Democrats wanted to help use him as one of their more political tools in order to really start gaining votes from the LGBT voting ring. because they knew the LGBT voting ring was still on their side, but they wanted to convince more moderate Democrats and maybe even some conservative LGBT members to really move on and say, hey, Trump's not helping you, and like such and such. Even though I think Trump has done a pretty large amount of things. Even though people still accuse him for the transgender ban as calling it as unfair and calling it, and many radical leftists have called it illegal, even though it's not illegal. And I already had presented my case, which was, it was going to distract the military with extra costs. It was going to overall distract the military, such as in combat. And it was just going to provide too many problems for the for the government and the military to deal with. And they just, again, I support transgenders going into the military, but we can't right now. We have to slowly improve technology, and once we improve technology, then we can let transgenders in, and then our military is going to become more and more, as the left says, diverse. And I say that some communities do need a little bit of diversity. I've always said this. A little bit of diversity is good, but you can't have just an all-out diversity. You can't have literally one-tenth of the population white, one-tenth of black, one-tenth of Asian, one-tenth of European. You can't, like, really have that, or it's going to just cause cultural problems. You can have that. You can have, like, one-twentieth white, maybe one-fifth black. But you need to have a orderly set and have it more have them more connected to each other, both politically and culturally, because it would keep problems such as like the Black Lives Matter movement from starting up again because of all of these incidents that, even though they've been debunked and such, that they are just going to overall cause more for the people of the United States. And it's just, again, the Jussie Smollett case is more pointing toward the real threat of bribery, the real threat of influence in the courts, and the real threat of how much influence people have on others, on many others' lives. Because George Soros, I think he has about a $10 billion net worth, at least that's what I saw on Google. And so he can easily pay this. Like, he can easily just send out $1 million to them, $1 million over there, $1 million over here. So again, overall, this story is again pointing to a future of America where our entire Constitution, which really describes and really promotes the justice system as the system that really keeps the rights of the people, is right now being tested under certain individuals such as elitists and other billionaires, I think that billionaires, I don't feel like they should have any kind of interference, because, and this includes every billionaire. I'm not saying people like George Soros where they're a progressive. I'm saying every single billionaire cannot interfere, or they're going to in some way influence that court decision, the jury, or they're going to influence some of the evidence that is found, or the jury. It's just another thing that, for the final time, that we have to worry about. We cannot focus on something else and just say, nah, let's not do that. Let's just talk about climate change or talk about gun control law. Even though the whole entire idea of our court systems being completely corrupted is not that important. But that's really what I got today. So we're going to move on to our favorite good old-fashioned deal, which is the Green New Deal. And this makes me so happy. I'm so happy about this, and I actually learned this on Twitter. I looked over the stats of the Green New Deal, and I realized 57 yay to 0. Actually, wait, no, it's the opposite. 57 nay to 57 yay, which meant that the bill was completely crushed, as in, like, it didn't even receive a single vote, which is amazing. I personally thought that at least there was going to be at least 12 or so Democrats in the Senate that were going to vote for it, because even though they knew that it was going to win, they were going to try selling like an act of defiance against the patriarchy by still voting for it. But clearly none of them even thought about that, and they voted on what they actually... And so I also saw Ocasio-Cortez going, it's threatening everyone's lives. It's killing people. We must pass this bill, because if we don't, we're not going to keep the world alive in 12 years, even though I'm just saying this because I believe it. I don't think by the facts that it's actually going to happen. That's what Ocasio's entire statement was that virtually it matters much more than anything else, even though she, again, never provides any kind of evidence. She never provides any kind of structure to her idea that really keeps it balanced. Instead, she just says it's important, which is virtually such a weak structure that even regular debunkers can easily get through this. Like, she is just so arrogant. I think that Ocasio is a very arrogant person, and that she's the reason why conservatives fear the future of the Democratic Party. She is literally the reason. Because when you have people like her trying to say, I wish if I was president or something, and this is not a quote, this is just what I think. If I was president, I would pass this immediately. That's a really scary thought, because does that mean that if she was actually president, she would just overrule everything and pass whatever she wanted and then block whatever she wanted? That's the really terrifying part of it, because it's just kind of saying there, hey, I'm going to pass anything I want, and if you deny it, I'm going to call it a human life crisis. And that's always been attacked at the left. It has always been attacked at the left for probably at least since the early 2000s, because they purposely use the old-fashioned, it's going to kill people, it's ruining people's lives and such. And you might say, but the Republicans use that. When the Republicans use that, they use that in the context of everyone. They use that in the context of such as everyone, an area, and just the overall American society. They don't use it in just one, they don't just use it in like for like a certain amount of people. Like, because she tried to say, people in like in the South America, their waters are rising, they're gonna flood. It's like, actually, I don't even think the water has even risen that much. In fact, I think I've heard that the water has stayed at middle level in South America. And if it has risen, it has not caused any kind of disastrous flooding, as I've heard. Because I've literally been looking over some environmental news, and I've never heard of any of this. Like, I've never heard of a single thing relating to this. So, if she really wants to prove to me, she has to show me the news report. She has to show me that it's actually happening. And then I can really say, you got that point there. I can't really deny that. Let me then a little bit go in more discussion about it. But if she doesn't, and she just says something to really say, this is why, then it's just going to make me much more distrustworthy. And I already distrust Ocasio by far. In fact, I probably barely trust any she said, probably since she even became a face in the world of politics. But really, just again, the Green New Deal itself was a horrible document. In fact, I downloaded it on my phone, and you know how bills usually take about 30 minutes at the least to finish, because they're about like 22 or 30 pages, and you have to really analyze everything? Well, guess what? This thing was like 5 pages, and it was not formed well. It was not a very well-formed document. And I've seen many documents. I haven't seen all of the entire details, but I've seen many documents before. And that document purely just told me she had no idea what she was doing. Or at least if she did have an idea, she was not doing it right. And it just really kept, I think, Democrats from really even voting for it, because it was so poorly organized that people were kind of going to say, well, why should I vote for such an illogically valid piece that hasn't even been organized in the right position? Like, how am I going to vote for that? It's like, I'm not even knowing, I can't even tell what you're saying if you're putting it in such a context where it's just like ramble. It's just purely rambling. And Michael Moore, and Michael Moore even said that, I wish the age in which you can be elected president should be 30. And he purely said that for Ocasio, because he's saying, Ocasio can beat Trump. It's like, look at the recent polls. Acacia has been hacked as spies by at least 60% of American youth that have been recorded. That's not a very good sign, because before, Ocasio-Cortez was very popular in the youth. She was one of the top figures for the millennial age. And if the millennial age is all of a sudden starting to really say, I'm going to shift more conservative, that's going to kind of mean that not only is Ocasio in trouble of even having a chance at winning, but she's also going, but she, her own companions, such as Bernie, Beto, Kamala, and Christine, they're all going to have trouble. Because they are going to realize that they're losing probably one of the biggest bases that they have right now. Because the Democrats, they rely on the ages of about 20 to about 40. Because when you start hitting 50, people start tending to move more conservative. Because it's been shown in a study that people, more elderly people, are much more likely to be conservative because they've seen a lot that's happened. They've seen how something, how if you put something like that, how it actually affects. So they become more and more conservative rather than progressive. And that's really why the left targets the millennial and youth community, because they know that they're arrogant. They know that they aren't going to look it up. They know that they're, and if they do look, and they know if they do look it up, they're going to just go on New York Times or Fox News and such and never actually really investigate it. That's why the Democrats target the youth, because they know they can take advantage of it in front of Trump. Because Trump has relied such on middle-class workers who have, I think, at least the ages of 50 to the elderly. Because Trump, he obviously speaks to that population. Trump doesn't speak to the youth who believe in such as the racist comments that never existed. I looked over every single word that people have taught that was racist of Trump. I've talked to my friends. Like, I even told them, what did he say was racist? And they never actually said it. Or they said something like, when he called the illegal immigrants were bringing crime, drugs, and they were rapists. And he even put there, and I always say this, he even put in there, some are good people. And I've always said this. Illegal immigrants are more likely, and that's not again saying all, they are more likely to be involved with criminal acts than legal immigrants. Yes, legal immigrants still could pose a threat, but illegal immigrants seem to have more of a motive, which can make them which makes them more suspicious to the authorities than that of a legal immigrant just walking up to the border and getting through. Like, in that case, they would be seen as just another person. When you're illegally trying to cross, you're seen as a criminal, and you're also seen, they're probably going to investigate you, not just only of how you got there, but they're probably going to get into your criminal records, into your family history and such. It's really just overall a terrible solution of getting into the border by illegally crossing, because you're going to get, one, you're going to get caught and you're going to get deported, and two, you're probably not going to be able to get back into the country. It's just overall a terrible situation for some of the illegal immigrant families, because some of them do have to actually get to the United States. But again, I'm not saying that some can just cross. They have to legally immigrate. But all of these points really, again, lead us to the what Ocasio is thinking. What is she going to think after this? What is she going to bring up? What is her plans in the future? Because I believe this heavily, but I think Ocasio is going to run for president when she's old enough. I think she's going to immediately run. Because if you really look at Ocasio, you can just see that she wants to run. She wants to get into the presidential race. She really wants to dethrone Trump. But she won't be able to dethrone Trump for obvious reasons. One, she's not popular enough. Two, she probably does not have the money and the funding for it. And three, she's not old enough to do it. So, it's just, again, the real situation with Ocasio and the whole entire realness. I actually forgot. Is realness a real word? I don't know. I'm going to still use it. Tell me if it's not a real word. But the real threat to the from the Democrats is, if they start taking these ideas and start really using them and start trying to influence people with these, what I call the Acacia theories, because they're really ideas. They're more of just theories. They're not proven. They're just speculated. And it's just going to really, I think it's going to really just point toward how American politics is going to be influenced. How are we going to really address certain issues? Are we going to address them in a manner in which I believe that we should address it? Or are we going to just all out fight each other and just never resolve it? Because this is my personal belief. Governments have to work together. Governments cannot just fight against each other. If they fight against each other, there's no point in being a party because you're not going to get anything done. You vote for that side and you vote for the other side, they're just going to be stuck there and they're going to constantly debate and fight. And it's just going to be an overall terrible experience for Americans because they're going to be stuck there saying, why is this happening? It's like even the Democrats and Republicans will be telling each other, like, this sucks. Like, this just sucks. And why did we even try to have a government? This really, and so just really, again, if the government continues with the progression of ignoring and such as censorship and really, again, the overall non-focused kind of attitude towards many issues that have been becoming more and more relevant over time, it's going to lead American politics now. It's going to lead America's image around the world to the toilet. It's going to hurt America, and I don't even know if America can recover from it. And you may call that a theory, but it's really just a seen, not a seen fact, but it's really a seen idea. Because it's just getting more and more evident over time as Americans do not address anything, as they just sit and watch. They just watch the show and they do not care. And that's going to cause America's downfall. It's going to cause America's downfall. It's going to cause our allies' downfall. It's going to cause the whole world itself to fall. Because we could not do anything. And that we could not resolve with each other to really just get politics done. But that's really what I got to say for today, because really, that was just, in my opinion, a better speech than I could think of. Because, again, I do these podcasts almost off script many times. I mostly do sometimes on script podcasts if such I have I have a sponsor and such, or if I have to go into a certain event and I have to document it because I might not understand or I might not remember, like, through the event. So I just be used to me stopping and stammering a little bit because it's always going to be something that happens throughout. It's probably going to be more evident in such live streams and such that when I start broadcasting. But again, I'm still trying to improve. I'm a human being too. But again, that's going to really end it for today. So I thank you for listening. I hope you continue to support the podcast by spreading out our message and really telling anybody who wants to listen to a podcast that really tries to take the both sides of the political spectrum and just overall wants to have a decent time with a relatable discussion in politics. But that's going to really end it here. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your night and I hope you have a great day in the future.